call meeting to order for Monday, June 30th. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson.
I'm here.
Alderman D'Andrea.
Here.
Alderman Mayer.
Here.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderwoman Evans.
Here.
Alderman Schmidt.
Present.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Here.
Please rise and join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
As you all probably know, we don't typically do citizen comment periods, so if there's an occasion, I'm sure the council will entertain a motion to suspend order of business. Item number two, concept review for a proposed multifamily memory care residence facility development. Mr. Tiedemann.
Thank you. Really loud, really close. This is a concept review. The applicants are here, and they'll be able to give a presentation in just a minute. Just wanted to point out a few things that were in the Common Council action sheet. The property is currently zoned R8, which would allow this project as a special use. The property does have some C1 zoning on it, so that staff would be recommending rezoning as well to get rid of the C1. There may also be some wetland impacts as proposed, so then if they decide to go ahead with this project as proposed, they would have to do a natural resource special exception as well. Although the property is zoned R8, the comprehensive master plan shows this property for mixed use. From that standpoint, which is consistent with the old conference master plan and the civic center zoning for this area that was envisioned in that old conference master plan, residential can be a component of such a mixed use, but wouldn't be the only use envisioned under either of those conference master plans. So staff points that out as one of our concerns. Natural resource impacts is another concern. And then as a mixed use with a residential component, we feel it would be more compatible with and beneficial to the adjacent commercial developments like the shops in the village. And then lastly, I could just mention that I am working on a report that looks at the amount of multifamily residential in the city. It's been pretty consistent over the years, although it might be a little bit higher now than it had been in the past. That's something that we're still looking into. So again, this area is zoned R8, allows us this as a special use. Conference master plan would have to be amended to allow this because the plan envisions mixed use. And the applicants are here to give a presentation.
Thank you. Matt, would you come up and introduce yourself and whoever's going to join you?
Table or mic?
Table, please. Make yourself comfortable. And the alderman of the district came back, so we're in good shape. Everything okay? Okay. Do it quick.
Okay. Mayor, Council, I want to thank you for your time this evening. My name is Matthew Cromick. I'm with the LaSalle Group. We're 1900 East Gulf Road, Schaumburg, Illinois. I am the Regional Director of Development here for LaSalle Group, responsible for the Great Lakes region in terms of developing for our autumn leaves products. The LaSalle Group's been in the senior housing industry for about 15 years. We've been in the real estate industry for about 25. Autumn Leaves product is a program that came about from an internal need, a family need, where we had the shareholders of LaSalle wanted to place a family member that had Alzheimer's and couldn't find a place to put them, quite frankly, that they were satisfied with. So our president and his former wife, who was a nurse, decided to put a concept together and said, hey, you're in healthcare, I'm in real estate, let's see if we can do something better out there that we haven't been able to find. So they created a concept called Autumn Leaves down in Texas. And that was about 14, 15 years ago. We came up to the Midwest area in 2007-ish. We've since grown to about 9-10 communities in Chicagoland and looking to come up to Wisconsin, which is kind of my second home state. So we're up here looking in Milwaukee. We identified Franklin as a community that would certainly benefit from our needs. And we haven't been able to find a community quite like it in the area either. So one or two in Brookfield, there's one in New Berlin, something that offers a singular type of comprehensive therapeutic care for those that have Alzheimer's and various forms of dementia. You do have some assisted living products here in Franklin and nearby, but nothing is quite like what Autumn Leaves is. Again, we have a product that is geared specifically towards the population that has Alzheimer's and various forms of dementia. We have a plan that my architect here, Michael, will talk about that is designed specifically for those that have dementia. And all of our caregivers and nurses are trained specifically in Alzheimer's. So we only take people that have some of those forms of disabilities. We don't take people that just need assistance with daily living, like an assisted living program might. We are a community that is private pay. We are not publicly supported. We do take third-party insurance if necessary, and we do take some benefits for veterans and stuff like that. But we're typically a pretty low-impact use. We like to be placed somewhere near residential on a fairly high-traffic road, but not something that's, 40,000 cars per day, something that may be between, 7 and 15,000 cars per day. We like to have some access. The most activity you'll find from our community, quite frankly, is staff. When staff is leaving and coming and going the three different shifts of the day, our 15-odd members of staff will create some trips here and there that may add to the traffic burden, but certainly not as much as a typical larger project may. In terms of emergency services, we have very little call volume, so we're not a burden there. We don't have residents that are critically ill. Our residents have Alzheimer's. And we have RNs on staff 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, so they can temper any emergency calls that need to be made. They can handle that in-house. If there is a true emergency, certainly we call 911 or arrange for transport. But because we have nurses on staff all day long, we're not a big burden to the emergency services here in the village. Locally, we've identified a little over 1,000 residents that could benefit from our service. And that's not just in the corporate limits of Franklin, but in a competitive area radius that we look at. So there's certainly a need in this area. Again, this is a great product for a great community. We'd like to be a big part of it. I understand there's some discussion and consideration on this parcel and how it fits in with your future plans. But we'd like to, I don't want to say throw our hat in the ring, but we certainly like to discuss about becoming part of this community. I brought Michael Aronson with me here today. He is our architect. I also have our wetlands consultant, Dave Meyer, who can answer some questions. I'll hand it over to Mike here. You can go over some things.
Before we do that, Mike, excuse me, a couple of questions for you, if I may, counsel, of course. You're private pay, but are you not-for-profit, or are you a profit entity?
We are for-profit.
And the... where do you envision your pool for staffing coming from?
Typically, I think there's bus service in this community, right? Is there
no, that's okay. Why I asked.
Okay, so sometimes we will have some caregivers that rely on some bus service. Typically, our nurses and our professional staff originate from the area. We offer 6 or 7 jobs that typically pay upwards of $60,000+ a year. The rest are caregiver staffs that are on hourly wages, culinary staff. But out of the 32 staff members that we have, typically, like anyone else, they would be within community distance.
Okay. Thanks.
Are these just architectural questions right now? Or?
No.
Whatever you like.
Okay. I'm glad to see that you offer music and pet therapy. You said no critically ill. How long of a residential care is this for Alzheimer's patients if you have no critically ill? Because I'm familiar with Alzheimer's patients that do progress, and they do unfortunately pass away as Alzheimer's patients.
Sometimes we will have a need for something like hospice, but typically our license doesn't allow us to care for those that may be on a ventilator, that have a daily IV. So when they get to a certain level of care that's beyond that we can give, they typically transition out to a skilled nursing facility. If that is a small occurrence where perhaps they're in a rehab, they may come back and we continue to have them as a resident. But if their health progresses to the point that it requires intervention on a daily basis by some type of skilled nursing environment, then they would go to a skilled nursing facility. We would work to transition our residents to that. But you're right. I mean, there are some residents that just... they pass on, and they pass on, and we do hospice. If they're passed on, they need a ventilator. If there's some very significant issues there that we cannot handle, we won't handle that in-house. We're not licensed to do that.
Well, you also have home-cooked meals. I'm glad to see that. So you don't outsource your meals?
No. Everything comes in on a truck once a week. We have a culinary director and a culinary manager and a kind of an assistant, and everything is made from scratch, vegetables, potatoes, meats. It's all made. It's nothing that's come from a third-party vendor.
So then with Alzheimer's patients, we have all different levels of feeding also. Some progress to where they don't eat well.
Correct.
Which is another reason why sometimes they also...
Yeah, if they need a feeding tube, we can't handle it.
You can't handle it.
So that's not within our skill set.
Okay.
So they would transition from our facility to one we can't handle.
Will you aid these patients in finding
another
facility?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, they become part of our family. We work with their family. And you know, we have, you know, I don't want to say we have a medical staff, but, you know, we have a local physician that's part of our group. It's not necessarily on staff, but we work with each resident's medical team to find out when and when they cannot continue to live in our community. It's a lifelong discussion about where they're at in their end stage of life. So we're not going to just kick them to the street when things get bad. We're going to work with the family.
So how many years is the typical stay for one of your residents?
Typically, it's 18 to 30 months.
Thank you.
Council, I want to be sensitive to Alderman Mayor's responsibilities. Dan, do you have any questions? If you don't mind.
And this may be for Joel or Matt, if you're familiar with it. I'm the one we've been playing phone tag. It seems to me this is very similar to Harmony of Redwood. Any differences that you know of?
I don't know the details. That was my impression, but I don't know.
Are you familiar with Harmony?
Harmony is not a secured facility. So when I toured Harmony, they do take lower acuity patients that have Alzheimer's. Obviously, a lot of the aging population does have some form of dementia. But when they get to a certain acuity at Harmony, I don't want to speak directly for Harmony, but what I was told was that there reaches a level where their care can no longer really be accommodated. And if they are a wander risk or an elopement risk, which we call, you know, they can easily get out of that building, whereas our building is secured by.
From my point of view, I've had an excellent relationship with Harmony of Brentwood, so to me, the closer you are like them, the better. So if you tell me you're just like them, that would be a very good thing for me, I would think. Other than that, I like the concept, as long as this looks a lot better than the drawings looked. You're in an upscale area of the community, and you need to maintain an upscale appearance. Other than that,
Alderman Dandrea, then Alderman Schmidt.
Yeah, one of my questions was, is this is going to be a 24-hour secured building?
Correct.
Okay. And then how many patients per employee?
I think right now our functional plan calls for, and I'm talking off the top of my head, I'm not an operations expert, we're either 8 or 9 to 1, and we're trying to decrease that down to about 6 or 7 to 1.
And then what price point are you looking at coming in on a monthly basis? Or?
In this market, whether it's a shared room, there's going to be, how many shared suites do we have, Mike? Is it 8? I expect those to be in the maybe the $4,500 a month range, and can go upwards of a high sixes. When we conducted our market research for all the communities around here, that's commensurate with what's out there.
That's for a joint room?
Yes, and that's inclusive of everything. That's medication management, incontinence care. There are no additional costs for anything.
Okay. And this is not an assisted facility. This is almost on a nursing home care side.
It's assisted living, but there's a certain level that we can't do medically to care for our residents. So
they don't have kitchens in their room?
No, they do not.
Okay.
No, it's almost like a suite.
Okay. Thank you.
Alderman Schmidt.
So this would be housing approximately about 50 patients, do you think, clients?
That's correct. I think this new plan calls for 54 residents.
And you mentioned dementia, which is not necessarily always Alzheimer's. Would these be patients that could be suffering dementia as a result of like Parkinson's or something?
Yes,
like that?
There could be vascular dementia. There could be dementia from Parkinson's. There could be dementia from Alzheimer's, all types of. And we, that's one of the things that we specialize in, is we specialize in all those different root causes so that we can manage that more therapeutically. In fact, when a lot of our residents come into our communities, I think this survey showed they're on 7, 8, 9 different types of meds. When they come into our community, you know, their anxiety comes down, a lot of different things change, and they get down to 2 or 3 different types of meds. So we're able to manage that process and make their life a lot more enjoyable.
And would you be drawing patients, or what would be the radius? So would it be within southeast Wisconsin, or would it go into Illinois, or depending on the families, ability to pay? Or
For this, you know, I think, you know, we might get into Oak Creek a little bit. You know, certainly we're going to go farther north and south. You know, a roundabout number is 8-mile radius. Sometimes it more comes down to like a 15-minute drive time. Most adult family members like to have that member close to their home or between their work and home so that visiting is convenient. And certainly, you know, that's kind of what works around here.
Okay.
Architecture.
And I would like to add one thing. You commented about the aesthetic. Thank you. We do try to have a little bit of a premium product, and we would be opening to any discussion in terms of the aesthetic that you'd like to see in terms of materials.
We'll have those.
Yeah.
Alderman Will.
Well, I understand why your selection and the high amount of senior facilities surrounding the picture locations. I do have the concerns that staff has about the zoning and what it was meant for. I'm wondering if you, what your years of service are for a typical building that
okay.
you have, since you've only been around for, 14 years?
Yes. Yes.
So you probably haven't had any of your buildings change or lasted that long?
Yeah, I mean, we build in the state in our portfolio for, you know, as long as the materials will last. I think 40 years is your typical age for most building construction. We're in it for the long haul. We have a second generation of ownership right now that are in there. 30s. There's no intent on divesting the company at all. And we hope to be in here for the long term. All of our communities have been pretty healthy. A lot of them are stabilized. So we're a strong company that has a good balance sheet.
So you haven't outgrown any of your buildings or found a need to move a facility from
not at all.
Original location?
No, if anything, we may add buildings to that region, but we have a specific non-compete radius, so we're not cannibalizing business. So if we added more communities to the region, we wouldn't be taking residents from one to fill another.
I guess I'm asking that because I'm wondering, as the population of elderly starts to decline, you know, right now we have a high amount of people. As that starts to decline, is there any conversion factor to your building? Have you thought about what the buildings might become when they start to reach that age?
We believe that the metrics show that the incidence of Alzheimer's and dementia is going to continue for quite a long time. Certainly as long as, probably longer than what I'm here. Our buildings are single purpose. They're designed therapeutically to enhance the lives of those that have Alzheimer's and dementia. If you were to repurpose the building, it would take a significant investment to probably do that.
So
you could use it for a strict assisted living product. You could do that, but I mean, you're not going to convert it to a
I guess that's what I was wondering. You know, it sounds to me like you're saying your dementia is not necessarily based on just the aging population, but just health concerns in general. So you might have not just aging people with dementia,
yeah.
but young people.
Yeah, we have residents in our communities that are unfortunately as young as 40, as old as in their 90s. All different onsets of dementia.
As far as the land use, do you think that site is going to be big enough should you ever want to expand? Because it's certainly not a real large.
You know, again, we don't usually add on to our buildings. If anything, we kind of change our prototype over time. This is kind of like the third iteration that we're on right now over the last 15 years. The building's not really meant to be expanded upon, so we look for, as well as the building size is commensurate to the market.
we are landlocked on this particular parcel, but we are on many of our parcels. It's a great piece. It's the proper traffic. It's the neat market. It does hamstring us, I guess, a bit from an expansion perspective, but that's not something we really contemplate.
Mr. Deal, as far as what did you say the current suggested uses for that under the master plan?
Mixed use.
Right, I remember that. But as far as was it retail stores or what was the other component?
In the current practice master plan, we have a specific yard. The old one did the central yard was posing that they use the civic center.
What would have that been in the old plan?
It would be a mixture of residential, institutional, commercial, office buildings. So
Alderwoman Mayor.
Yes, hi. How many employees would you have over a first and second shift?
At prime business hours, I think we're at 16. I may be off by one because this is a newer product for us that has a little bit more beds, but usually it's about 16, then trickles down to like 10 and 10. So we average in the low 30s employee-wide for the community. But typically we've got directors and assistant directors of healthcare, of sales and marketing, of activities, culinary. So we have quite a few professional positions. And then, like I said, we talked about the caregivers and nurses and that side.
Okay, and then I'm wondering why this location. Did you look at other locations in Franklin?
We did. We looked at some locations on the northeast side of town. We looked at some locations with staff on Spectre Drive and Lover's Lane. But this one just really kind of worked for us. It's a lot of like where we put our communities typically. Has a strong community feel to it. There's a nice subdivision nearby. There's a church next to it. There's kind of banks and professional medical offices, Aurora. So it kind of has that feel that we like to have. We're not going to get lost in the clutter, and we're not going to stand out like the dog. So it's a use that kind of works with what we do in the city.
Alderwoman Evans.
I just want to mention that Oak Creek Franklin School District, which does educate some Franklin residents, offers a CNA program, which is very rare for high schools, so that could employ some students.
Alderwoman Will.
On your plan, we've been trying to have less parking in the front of the buildings, and I'm wondering if you would move the building up more and put the parking in the front and the back, so we wouldn't have to be looking at the parking lot.
I agree with you in that respect. We do like to have a certain amount of parking up front, so it's easier for our residents and their families to gain access to the front of the building. We typically like to have reserved the back and the side of the buildings for staff parking. This site is a little bit tight in that respect in terms of staying within the wetland buffer. Yes, Mike, I know you're looking at it right now. We can certainly scratch our heads and go back to the drawing board if that is a consideration. There's not a lot of room.
We have a little bit where it says open lawn on the side yard and up both. And what about, if you put the basin up in the front, swap the parking in the basin. Yeah, I figured you'd say that. And there, you don't allow an entrance in the back that would survive or provide the same type of service? You have an entrance in the back for employees, but you're saying that's strictly going to be for employees. You wouldn't.
The entrance to the service.
Right.
look at some parking, maybe try to get a little bit more green space up front, which is what I kind of what you think you're getting at.
Or and if we you can put the office buildings in the back, so when they park in the back, they're actually entering into...
Well, staff would park in the back. You know, I think one of the qualities of our community is when you walk in, you feel like you're walking into a home. So you're walking into a foyer area, then you're walking into basically their living room with a fireplace and some couches. There's considerations that we can look at from a site plan perspective.
I noticed that the site has seen some tree cutting over the last couple of years, so it's kind of being prepped for this. Just happens to accommodate your pond really well. Mr. Deedle, were there permits on that removing that's been taking place on that site? Okay, so you don't know what the impacts were previous in site
permit. There is been some cutting into the site.
Probably, it was probably impacting some of the wetland buffer from what I was looking at on the site, so it might have been a treed wetland buffer before and now and stuff.
Got it?
Yeah.
No. Okay.
That's good. Are you open to Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts and school organizations coming in to work with residents for
Absolutely.
Christmas
we do that already.
Carols and crafts and things?
We do that already. And you mentioned the CNA program at the high school. I can't comment on specifically that we're doing something like that, but that's stuff that we look towards as we come into a community. We join the chamber. We join a lot of different communities. We do a lot of community outreach. Whether you're residents or not, we're a knowledge base for Alzheimer's and dementia. We do have Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts do quite a bit in our existing communities.
Good.
So, architecture. Let me start off, though, by saying we're going to look for a higher level of architecture. Broken up roof lines. I know that's tough on a single-story building, but if you look across the street to the homes that are adjacent to that, they're a little higher architectural style for you to match that to the best of your ability. My hot button is roof lines and long-traveling empty walls, just so you get an idea. Also, as you look at your entrance, engineering would have a better idea of this than I, but it would be helpful if it intersected with Windham Hills Parkway on the west, I would think. But let's hear your presentation. Sorry.
So I can drive. My name is Michael Aronson, and I am an architect with SAS Architects. We are located in Northbrook, Illinois, and we do primarily senior living of all types, whether it's memory support or skilled nursing or assisted or independent. And we have a national practice, and I've been lucky enough to be working with Autumn Leaves for about 7 years. I've built roughly 10 communities in the Chicago area. So I have a brief slide presentation, and this is obviously the site. With it just around the corner, the bank, the church, the housing, and Target community there. This is a blow up of that, and I'm going to spend a little bit of time on the site so that we can.
It's horizontal.
So that you can see it. Oh, it's really hard. It's okay. This is the wetlands boundary as we understand it. You can see it's on red on the packets that you have. This is the 30 foot buffer for impervious area. And this is the 50-foot buffer for the building buffer. And we situated the building, and everything is give and take, and what's best, and push it around so that we could respect the 50-foot wetlands buffer and not impact the wetlands, obviously. And the building is situated between those two points. And it did place the entry drive off-center with the drive into the residential community. So this is such a wide median strip that it would be difficult for us to line up a street on either the incoming or outgoing traffic. It actually would be a better traffic design to be off center. And engineering did say they wanted a loop road around the whole building, so we really would have to have the two entry exits. So we're trying to respect the wetlands buffer. We would ask for a variance right here in the corner for the impervious area. We would have to be within, I think that's 15 feet of the wetlands, and on this side, about the same amount of area in order to ask for the impervious buffer variance on that. And the rest of these structures in back to move back missed the building setback. So it was a delicate task to try and get this located without having any impact to the wetlands. There are two wetlands issues. There is an old storm swale culvert that I understand is no longer connected to Drexel. And there is a storm sewer that's been installed right on this line here, and that has now been designated as wetlands. I don't know its full history, but it is now designated from that storm drainage that was along that line. And there is a very isolated pocket, very small. There was a grading depression, is my understanding, that now has wetlands. And these are two very small, incidental wetlands that we hope that we can work with everybody to mitigate this long, narrow strip and that very small, isolated wetlands. Other than that, we're respecting trees and wetlands to the extent that we can, which is really this line right back here. Our retention pond would be in the back at the lower point on the site. So this is a delicate balance to try and respect all the elements that we possibly could to get to this point. Just a colored site plan so you can visualize it. A floor plan, if I got into the design, there are a lot of meeting public spaces. When you come in, this is a living room with a fireplace, a library. This is an outdoor courtyard, a greenhouse, a small demonstration type kitchen, cookies, dining rooms, wanderers' gardens on each side is budding green possibly. And again, a loop because wandering is a big part of the disease and people need to wander. Technical elevations. I have an advantage as an architect. I don't have to show you renderings. I'm going to do this very quickly. We've built a very similar product in many communities. This is not an identical building. It's similar. And to address that it's upscale, I think you might get a better sense of what we're trying to do. This is a typical entry in the same brick and this building is brick and stone. This is the living room that you come into with the library on the side with the vaulted ceiling. Typical resident room corridors with French doors on them. This looks out to the garden. Courtyard, the quarters are broken up with places to sit, memory walls, etc. This is the library. This is the greenhouse, demonstration kitchen, one of the activity areas. That's the cooking area. That's the dining room, skylights, the interior courtyard. And what I want to show you again, we spend a lot of effort trying to break down the elevations so that they're broken down in scale and do look residential. The gable end, the lower hip that captures the end of the gable roof on this end. There's a number of roof lines going on here to try and break this up as much as possible as we go through it. I'm going to show you the front elevation.
Well, as I remind the council, this is a concept review. We're not going to fix all the issues. So,
I'm just trying to give you a sense of how the scale is broken down and the roofs and the court issue. So that's a quick tour of the facility. I hope I've addressed all your questions.
Any other questions?
Glad to answer them.
We do not take a vote on the project at this meeting. We do give an indication as to typically if we're not happy with it. So, Alderwoman Mayer, and then Alderwoman Evans.
I just wondered how long you've been looking for properties for this particular one. You said you picked Franklin, and you've looked at a couple of locations. My concern is that, I guess I don't understand why you need to be on a busy road like this. It's a good mixed use thing. I don't know if I necessarily see this here. I like it, but there could be other locations in Franklin that would work. Also, it kind of seems like you're kind of enclosed. You keep everything secured and that kind of thing, and you can kind of do that in other areas of Franklin also. Okay. I like it. I do like it. I don't know if I like the location.
Alderman Evans.
It looks very pristine inside. You welcome grandchildren. As far as the location, we have a bank, we have a church, we have Target up the street. I don't know that I object to the location that much. If other aldermen and alderwomen are thinking more of a business, retail or something, I think it fits. I think with the elderly population, I don't object to it.
Alderman Dendrick.
Fortunately, or unfortunately, I've been in quite a few memory care facilities. I have served on the as the board of director on the board of directors for the Alzheimer's Association for Southeast Wisconsin, located in West Allis. You talked about training. Is that training internal, or are you working with organizations that are assisting you with the guidelines?
We have some proprietary programs that we use based on the guidelines for the last 2 years. I believe we do use some experts to help.
Well, Nationals is located out of Chicago, out of Illinois. So, great. I know the facility looks very similar to a facility in Appleton called Rennis. It's a very home, warming atmosphere with a nice, very high-end furniture inside, nice warm colors inside. That's what these individuals need. They need it to look like the home that they left, because otherwise they are very discouraged, very upset. They talk about these patients. And Alzheimer's just had an event called the Longest Day. These individuals inflicted with Alzheimer's may sleep on a tendency of a half hour to an hour, and it's usually their sleep pattern is more during the day than at night. And the important thing is that this is a fully secured facility. And you know, when we look at the architecture on the outside, I see that you have stone. I don't know what the material is that would be above that. If this is a replica or a rendition of what you're looking at.
This is a photograph of a stone brick.
Oh, so that's a second layer of brick above the stone?
Yes, but oh. We've also built these with using siding.
And what type of siding material?
Hardy plank?
Yeah. Okay, so you're using natural materials out there, and you're using a dimensional shingle on the roof?
Yes.
To match with the neighborhood?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, and you've got a lot of greenery and landscaping out there that'll add for the beautification. And then you've got the indoor courtyards that also have trees and foliage inside.
Yes.
We have almost two layers of landscaping, so that not only helps us present that curve, seeing everything below their window, that you're seeing the curve, you're seeing the secondary layer. So we invest a lot in this.
Now, that those windows, are those casement, or are they just look like that, but they...
They're double hung. And those, the ones, some are straight double hung, and some are pairs, green, and I
And they have
I just zapped myself.
They have a limited access ability.
Yes.
Because I know that patients will have a tendency to want to try to get through windows.
Okay. Well, thank you.
The comment relative to supporting the neighborhood or having a neighborhood supporting property there relates to support for the retailers that are down the street. Perhaps you can come back when we talk about this at the Plan Commission, and Alderman Mayer is on the Plan Commission. We can talk about perhaps if there's operationally a way to support the existing businesses that are in the neighborhood.
I did have one more question.
Alderman Dandrea.
What is your cost? What are you envisioning the impact on the city is going to be for this?
Well, I have not researched the county tax rates here, so I haven't done that yet. I can tell you that, well, certainly you should call my market with $11 million investment between $95,000 to $60,000 in tax revenue to get something else.
So you're envisioning this project to run about $10 to $11 million?
That's kind of the enterprise cost.
So your cost per unit is you've got rooms, and so you're talking you've got so many rooms, and so your cost per about $200,000. Okay, thanks.
Alderman Mayer.
Mr. Deedle, could we notify the neighbors and see if we can get any input from them like we did with the Summit Credit Union? Thank you.
Well, let's do that if and when you come back.
Okay. I'll leave that up to you.
Anyone else? Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Well, I'm just looking at your layout, and if you did do a little bit more with the everything you've got in the back, you might be able to pull out of those buffer areas a little bit and not have to go through that. If it's a building in the back or if it's the garbage.
What's located in the back is a garbage pickup, obviously, a generator, a transformer, and a small outdoor south shed.
Mm-hmm. And so if, some of that was shifted off to the side or, you move your pond up a little bit.
Yes,
you can do a little shifting.
That would be possible.
I'm looking at the questions on a natural resource special exception where it says, what have you done to accommodate this? It's like, well, nothing. This is the size and the square of the building we want, and we don't really want to change it, so we just want to take a special exception. So that's not a real appropriate answer when you're supposed to try to find ways to accommodate that as your first choice rather than just a take.
Absolutely, and I do understand. We certainly make every effort. I was trying to explain how much we consider trying to site the building to not impact wetlands. That's really how the building got sited. How can you do it with this demand? So we'll look at it again and make sure we can accommodate anything else.
Okay, anyone have strong feelings against? And I'm not looking for a voice, but. All right. I thank you for coming in. And, Joel, if you could get them a copy of the NSRE questionnaire just so they know what they're up against, that would be great. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
And thank you. Stay dry. Thanks. Next item of business, item 3, economic development goals, priorities, activities. I heard from a couple of you that you're interested in continuing the conversation on a high level. Several conversations with Mark and the way Mark thinks generated the flow chart that you were included in the packet. And so I offer Mr. Luberta. Oh, and also I'll say, as I've talked to some of you, most of you, hopefully we'll have some candid conversation. So, there we go.
So I'll try and be pretty quick through this, so if I'm going too fast, slow me down. But in your council packet, there was missing, just the way it worked with the copy machine, the actual council action sheet, which was very simple, was left out of the packet. So that is at your place today. And it simply says that this document was put forward to help aid in focusing the discussion points on trying to move forward with economic development goals, priorities, and activities. And it stemmed from the June 3rd meeting, where on that agenda there was a discussion on the Franklin First Development Strategic Plan, basically consideration of updating the Tickner Report, which at the time had been one of the first steps in moving forward some discussions on a TIF or a TID. And that action on that agenda ended up having no action taken. And so in discussion with the mayor, the question was, how do we move forward? How can we sort of pin down what is the next step? What direction? Is there a consensus on sort of where the Common Council is thinking economic development is for us and what approach we can have? So he's asked me to sort of, in that regard, since I put this spreadsheet together, to facilitate the discussion. So it's not really intended today that there be necessarily voting on it, but as much as trying to get a consensus as to some of these actions for moving forward. And to identify where the Common Council may need additional information to make that next decision on what step the city might want to take, so that staff can go out and begin to put that together. So one sort of general overview, this is not an all-encompassing spreadsheet. Economic development in general is a very broad topic. So we tried to summarize it down to some very straightforward questions just to get, again, the discussion moving. So the first question that it sets out is, does the city want to encourage or entice non-residential economic development? So that can be a TID district, that can be establishing loan programs. It's a very broad range. And in the spreadsheet for discussion, if the answer is yes, then we'll move on. If it's no, then from this council's perspective, it could be perceived that what we're going to do is take no action and sit and deal with economic development proposals as they come on a case-by-case basis, and that there's no proactive step. So that's the first question in the discussion. And if, from the point of facilitating, if it seems like I'm getting a consensus that the answer is yes, we'll move on that way.
Move on.
Okay.
Well, one question.
Sure.
Is why are we only talking about non-residential? Why is non-residential the only thing that we're going to consider in economic development?
That is a very good question. The reason this spreadsheet was focused this way is because our one primary goal that we have established, we hung it on the wall, is the 70-30. So I did not take the presumption in here to step back and say that we're not looking for, or that we're not trying to establish commercial, retail, business, light industry, that we're trying to bring in those adjustments or those additions to our assessed valuation that are going to have the impact expected in our comprehensive master plan, which is non-residential. So I believe if you go back to the comprehensive master plan, it suggests basically that the Franklin has not had any difficulty or challenge in having residential development find its way to Franklin.
Well, maybe so, we should take that into consideration. I mean, maybe this is where people want to move to. Maybe it is a good starting point for for economic development. That's my point. Because I don't think that we should just look at non-residential.
There's a couple ways to look at that. First of all, yes, we need residential to attract more retail development and service around development. That's absolutely correct. As I joined this effort in the early 90s, the big issue was, and frankly continues to be in my view, the cost to educate a child in Franklin School District is $10,500 a year. And there's not many homes in the city that generate that amount of tax dollars to pay for a child in school. And then you're going to say, well, not everybody has kids in school. Absolutely correct. But there's not enough houses in the city to balance it out, and that's why we get to the 70-30 goal, where we got to shift some of that burden off onto somebody other than residential taxpayers. So that's how we got to the 70-30.
Right. Well, one little backup. One other direction you can consider that, bringing back to the Common Council, again, in this discussion we focused on the things that made the 70-30 goal work better. There are communities that have said, you know what, we know we're going to get residential development, and we want to take proactive steps to focus and target on certain kinds of residential development. You know, meaning whether it's large lots or the small lots with lots of green space saved around it, you know, conservation subdivisions, those kinds of things. So there are communities that consider that economic development from a residential development side. But our discussion here was focused on the business park like manufacturing and the commercial retail and consumer services because of the 70-30.
Alderman Willow.
Right, and I think Alderman Mayor makes a good point because, as Mr. Dietl just said, the site that we just talked about was supposed to be multi-use retail, which could involve some residential type use. So from right out the gate, we're already taking ourselves down Business Park, which I guess if that's, we're all, you know, 100% where we're going, then I guess that's great. But I would just suggest crossing out the word non-residential and just say, does the city want to encourage or entice economic development?
Well, from a facilitating standpoint, I think you have to ask both those questions. What I've heard from the group is there's at least a portion that would like to see the staff of the city, you know, bring back the question of, when we look at residential development, what can we be doing maybe to address the residential development that we want? Maybe should we be focusing more on mixed use? You know, we have in our master plan a discussion of mixed use, but we don't have a lot of mixed use. You know, since we've done this, I don't think we've had a traditional mixed use structure come in where you have, you know, maybe retail or commercial.
Right, that's what I'm saying. It should be, because right now you're eliminating even that multi-use structural type thing by saying, you know, should we just entice non-residential only? And the other aspect you could look at, does it read this? Does the city want to encourage or entice economic development? And if by leaving out the non-residential, maybe we want to encourage the residential in the Oak Creek School District instead of in the Franklin School District. I mean, so either way you look at it, I think it's inappropriate to be having the non-residential inside of there, because you're eliminating a development component.
And I don't think that limits this sheet of the discussion for moving forward, in the fact that what I'm getting then is, if you recognize, if you take out the limitation of consideration of non-residential, what I'm hearing is a consensus to encourage, that we do want to do something to encourage or entice economic development.
I
believe so. Everybody nod up and down or left and right out. You can't vote anyway. I will point out that the 27th Street Corridor Plan includes zoning that includes mixed use, which contemplates residential. The only thing I'd say is I don't think we ought to be real excited about wanting more large subdivisions until we get some momentum going. If you don't, let me get the answer.
Sure.
Alderman Mayer.
Mark, you did a very nice job with this flow chart. Very nice job. The last thing we need, though, is another discussion on things or an explanation of things. I think we're all adults. We can all read through it. You did a good job. Let's talk about the action of this. Let's review the TIF projects. Let's give staff some direction of looking at TIFs. Where can we set up some TIFs? 76 and Ross, we talked about that. We talked about the other areas of TIF districts. Let's also have staff review the current TIF districts, and before they expire or retire, is there reason to maybe expand them or increase them at this point? Let's talk the action items. Let's not talk the rest of it. I think it's a no-brainer. I'm not speaking for anybody else here, but I think we all do want economic development, and we want to move forward on this. And we've been presented in the last few months with all-or-nothing situations. We had the stadium on a county property where we were up against the timeline, and we had to act, and we were given one proposal. And the timeline, the deadline was there, and that was it. So it had to come to council, and it was yes or no. Well, meanwhile, the stadium people are looking at other projects elsewhere. Why not look at something else in Franklin, not on county property? Maybe something else could be done with that as well. We talked about the TICMA report, and because we don't want to throw another $40,000 at an old report, that was kind of an all-or-nothing thing, too. Let's just talk about what we want to do, and let's set up some TIF districts. Let's give staff some marching direction to look at TIF districts and review TIF districts, and let's move on.
Thank you, Dan. Suzanne, Alderman Mayer.
I just wanted to, you know, just make the comment about the residential. Maybe you know, Joel, we don't have very many residential lots anymore available. I think we are down to like 40 lots. So, I mean, this is something that does need to be addressed also. The proposals that I've had since I've been on the council has been for residential. I think it's being pushed for industrial now. And so I just, you know, I just want to make sure that the residential is also looked at, because we clearly need that too. We need everything. So we do need economic development.
Alderman Schmidt, thank
you. Yeah. It's definitely an interesting flow chart. Obviously, it took a lot of time and effort to break this all down. I think what you're hearing from us is that we are having a concern about whether or not we're trying to put all our eggs in one basket. Are we going to just keep following this one trail like we're playing the game of life or something down to one particular ending? Do we necessarily, is a business park the only thing that we can focus on? Can we divide it up? Can we have staff pursue a business park and retail and potentially develop some plan for a residential? So that, it's not an all or nothing. I mean, we are a big city. We've got a lot of open space here, so I think there's some areas for we could do a little bit of all each, and doesn't necessarily have to constitute a TID district. Is that our only option for economic development? So those are just some of the things I question.
Well, the answer to that last question is no, it doesn't necessarily need to involve a TID district. That is one of the very few tools we have available to us if the city's going to. Let's do Alderman Evans.
I do want economic development now. And when I see this flow chart, I ask, where are we now? Where do we want to be? And how do we want to get there? And you know, right now I say we're stagnant. And where do we want to be? Well, I say we want tax relief now. And how are we going to get there? Well, that's our question here today. How are we going to get there? And if we want tax relief now, that question is, a TIF district, is that tax relief now? Or are there other ways to get there? So that's what we have to debate.
So, and as far as economic development, not non-residential or residential, you know, that's, it's all together, economic development. So those are just three basic questions. I think we have to start the discussion with, in my opinion.
Alderman Danger.
Well, let's keep in mind that the economy is starting to move forward. The bankers are still very timid out there. The builders are not rushing out there to develop 40, 50, 80, 100-acre parcels for residential development because of the underwriting guidelines that have been instituted by the Dodd-Frank bill. We have to start to move forward. I'm fine with moving non-residential out there. Yes, we do need more parcels of land out there, but we also have to look at and be cognizant of the impact it's going to have on our school system at the present time as well. I mean, Ms. Evans, you were shaking your head when Mr. Olson was mentioning what it costs per child. I don't know what it costs. Do you
have? More.
It costs more than 10.5. Okay, and so a $350,000 house has a tax bill of about $8,500 to $9,000. Okay, now you have two children going to school. We can see where the negative, we're upside down in that, on the effect on our school system here. I'm looking at this flow chart. And we all agree, we need to do something. We need to be creative. We need to start thinking out of the box. We need to start inviting people to come in. We've got people serving on an economic development board that are waiting for direction. We have to start to give them direction. And quit splitting hairs. We need to move forward.
Alderman Willen.
Well, you know, we always do the comparison, and Oak Creek always seems to come up. If you look around, what's around Woodman's that made Woodman's want to go there? It's the high-density, multi-use residential. And so I go back to the, let's not forget that that is also an economic development tool, because if we continue to paint ourselves in a box as a senior community, that's not going to give us what we need for economic development support either. So we need to consider the future. We need to consider the younger generation that may be ending up in Franklin. I don't see a lot of people being able to afford those really big homes in the future. It's not like there are a lot of pensions and all of that, jobs and that have changed over the years. So we need to make the moves that are happening around us. And I guess, we can move on to the be proactive. I think we all want to move down to the be proactive, but I still think that's important just to leave it at economic development. And then on the other side, which we didn't go and didn't choose to go, the last gray box above the green number 3 shouldn't be gray, because it says take no action, and the shaded boxes are action required, so that's should be an unshaded box. Not that we're going there, but just pointing that out. So, but I appreciate the flow chart is trying to get us thinking, but to me it a little bit stifles creativity. It puts us in a box, and it's about more about who and the where and less about what does the city really need or what does the city want as a whole. So I'm willing to follow the flow chart and go along. It seems like it's only going to take us one direction, and we already know what that direction is, so why don't we just get down to the bottom of it and talk about if we want a business park, because that's where it's headed. There's no other no other directions. We're not going to talk about tax incentives before we get to item number one, where it says three non-inclusive possible first steps. It just jumps right to number one in the TIF district. We're not going to talk about, you know, economic development grants or brownfield remediation of sites that we could develop. We're just basically going to talk about economic development from a TIF point of view and a business park.
Well, I'll answer that. No, we're not. We're going to talk about the other things, too.
Okay. We're going down number one. That's the first thing.
Well, number one's the easiest. Yeah. Anyway, Alderman Mayer.
We also have to remember that people's lives and livelihoods are in our hands. And if we're holding off a particular development because we're undecided what to do or where to go, somebody else is paying that price. Residential or commercial, I agree. It's all economic development. It's just got to be a balance. But we can't hold somebody hostage because we can't decide what to do. We need to have action points. We need to move forward. We need to have all the discussions. But if we have all the discussions before we move forward, we're never going to move forward. We need to get a direction and start down that road, and then the discussions will come and the tweaking can come. But we've got to get moving.
Mark.
Really, really quickly then, I mean, I would say you've already made significant progress from a public perspective compared to your last meeting, because what I picked up was there was some confusion over the results of the last meeting. We're at a 2-2 tie, and does that mean we wanted economic development? Didn't? Was it just that we didn't need new studies, we should just get going? And I think you've all made it very clear. You proactively want to move forward with economic development. And I don't think this spreadsheet is intended to direct it only to that question of, business park, industrial park, commercial retail zones, whatever you want to call it, because that box in number two may be the smallest of the colored area, but that's probably the biggest, the whole economic development plan. That incorporates your entire chapter four of your comp plan, which is the economic development chapter. So it just because I numbered one doesn't mean that entire other scope of what we can do is out there. Relative to the number one, the reason I laid that out first was, okay, at that meeting of June 3rd, you had one strategy for moving that development forward presented to you, get a study and move forward. So what we're trying to decide in this first box in number one is, do we want to move forward with proactively preparing sites in some way? Usually in Wisconsin right now, that does mean TIF districts. There are other less aggressive approaches where you just do more marketing for sites already in your community, help compile them, help evaluate sites, and try to make sure you've addressed zoning questions up front, so that if somebody comes in, you're not then addressing rezoning then, so you could do some of those proactive ones. And if you're wanting more, this is set up such that if you want more information on those, we can pull that together and bring it back to you. What are strategies you can have short of actually compiling land and helping establish a TIF district for one or multiple of these purposes? So that's really the next question is, do you need more information to decide if you're going to move toward packaging land together that you can help ensure is market ready? Or are you ready for that? And then it's moving on to how do you make the decisions, which is the next step down.
To Alderman Schmidt first.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously a month ago we had pretty much concluded that weren't ready to spend $39,000 to have an updated Tickner report. But I think in the meantime, we get the feeling that we should not utilize our own planning department to a full means of allowing them to do some research to investigate what our potential is. And I think if we allow them, it's like do some research, give us what your feelings are about prioritizing one or whether it's a business park or retail or even a residential. Just give us what work they can do as far as they can go with their resources, and give us a couple options that we can say, okay, let's pursue that direction.
Okay. Since I manage the planning department, I'm going to jump in on this one. First off, my concern is the amount of time available to do that type of work and what level of detail you're asking. I don't know what level that is, so I can't comment on it. I can tell you that they're busy down there. Now, having said all of that and waiting for more information from what level of detail you're looking for, my next question would be is, what is the information you're looking for, and does our staff have the qualifications to do that? I don't know, because I don't know what information you're looking for. So that goes into my decision tree as mayor and saying, it's not cost effective for us to use them for that. So, but I'm not going to make that decision because I don't have enough information.
I mean, is it determined as the TIF the most viable way of pursuing it, or should we establish tax incentives or something else to attract new businesses?
And I would say that we have a staff qualified to do some of that work, but here's the issue. You can't put the cart before the horse. You can't say we're going to do a TIF or we're going to do tax abatement or we're going to do brownfield development until you know what the parcel of land is and what you're going to attract and do with it. Once you do that, then you can get a figure as to, well, there's a bunch of mitigation here, there's a bunch of, you know, whatever. And then you can expand out from that. And our folks can certainly run TIF numbers, but that needs another whole set of assumptions.
Mayor, if I may jump in, what I thought I heard Alderman Schmidt say was, again, just for discussion purposes, this box in the middle of the blue area, does the Common Council want recommendation to be based on existing plans, historical documents, and generally available information? What I thought I heard Alderman Schmidt say was he would like for planning to come back and say, out of the information we already had, what direction could we head? What do we know already? And that's compiling, sort of pulling from what's in the reports we've had, maybe summarizing a strategic directions or options out of what's, to a large degree, already somewhat in Chapter 4. That's what I thought I heard you say was, can someone pull together what we have before we decide what we have to go out and extra get?
Is that what you're
right.
saying? Is that what you want, then?
Yeah.
Make it so. Could you scroll up a little bit? See how easy this gets, you know, once we get clear, we can go ahead. Alderman Mayer.
Yeah, I want to reiterate what Alderman Schmidt and Mark said much more articulately than I could have done. That was very good. That's exactly it. That's what we need. And we don't know what our planning department can't do until they tell us that they can't do this. They've gone as far as they can go. Then we need to get a consultant, or then we need to do something else. But we need to know what they can do and what they can tell us first.
But here's my request to the city attorney.
Just with regard to the June 3rd meeting, I did not hear, based upon the discussion, the amount of discussion, the proposals, and items before the Franklin Common Council on a 2-2-2 vote, I did not hear that the Franklin Common Council is opposed to economic development. I did not hear that there was any economic development problem with regard to a community that over the past now quarter century has not only been the fastest or amongst the few fastest growing communities in Wisconsin of its size, but also providing a very high quality living environment and high level conservation regulations locally. So I heard what I'm hearing again tonight, that the Common Council is aware of longstanding plans, and common council members are elected by the people, and in that representation, they make decisions on what they think is in the best interest of the city. You have full-time staff. They plan all day and into the night. You have full-time engineering. They engineer all day and meetings into the night. And staff can bring back, based upon what staff is aware of, too, in terms of projects of where there were comments of interest by the common council members, as well as based upon the plans, and staff can rough out concepts and alternatives, and it can include residential and future business park and future business slash industrial park and future retail areas, and advise the common council what's available there in alternate packages, and also whether or not consult engineering, planning, financial consultants would be recommended. And it's kind of, I think staff gets it and is ready to do that.
I'll second that.
There's no motion set in the committee of the whole. And the object would be, and staff does have vacation time, et cetera, et cetera. I hate them. Humphrey Bogart, but I would say soon, maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon.
If there's a consensus on that, where you've landed is right there for this first area, which is...
I didn't read the chart.
Let's figure it out. But it gives us clear direction, and it tells the community what your next step is, which is let's pull together what we've done historically and get direction from staff on where to go. And that may include coming back and saying, we do need to get some advice or updated direction in this area, whether it's, if we want to pursue retail side, we need updated retail market information because it's not new anymore, and we don't have retail commercial specialists. But that's what we can come back and do based upon what's in the data and reports we have.
Frankly, that's kind of what I was looking at.
Well, we jumped all the way down to the bottom of one. I actually like doing all three, one, two, and three, all the way across the top. We follow the strategy of one and jump all the way down to the bottom box where we look at recommendations. But we also, number two at the top, look at additional strategies to pursue proactive economic development, including tax incentives, methods to cut retail leakage, and the things that will help retain businesses. Those are also strategies. We seem to have kind of eliminated those. And then number three, where it says, can we decide who to delegate? Well, we can get to number three once we work out strategies and I guess the gray box you said we jumped to. So,
Mark?
I don't see why we have to eliminate and jump all the way down to that. I really would like to see additional strategies because it's not the only thing that we have in our toolkit.
Clearly, and that's the reason number two was on this chart. And frankly, number two basically tries to get you back to chapter four of your comprehensive master plan that talks about an economic development plan. That document said we would have one, that it was a priority. We would try to have it by 2010. Shortly after that or around that time, the position was eliminated due to economic conditions and was never filled after it became vacant. And chapter four lays out the fact that there are a lot of directions you can go, meaning are you going to focus on jobs or are you going to focus on property tax dollars? What are your priorities? Because your strategies you choose are based upon those priorities. Your chapter four does have your overall guiding principles of economic development effort are high quality of community for residents and businesses, jobs, and stabilizing and and expand a diverse tax base. So you have guiding principles, and then you have goals and objectives right in your comp plan now. But when you move forward from there, the kinds of things you've just talked about now and the options that are listed in your comp plan, you could keep a full-time staff of 4 people easily busy just doing all of the economic development options. There is such a broad range from, are you going to gather the information so that when business comes in, you can tell them everything you know about your community, so that you can sell your community, you know all its data, you have its demographics, you're ready to go? Are you going to focus on making sure you don't lose business? It's the retention area. Many communities have a person who just focuses on retention, a person or two, because if you're trying to give a in-person visit to a CEO whose name and phone number you often don't have because that's not the person who ever came in and filled out your, you know, planning and building documents. You have to develop the database of who all your business leaders are, and you go visit them, what, every 6 months, every 2 years, every year? Those visits can fill up a lot of time. And some people say, yeah, you know what? Don't want retention. They've already built it. They're paying their taxes. So let's focus on go get another one. You know, at the June 3rd meeting, Alderman DeAndrea said, no, what we need is marketing. We need a person to go out and bring people in to fill these places once we've, you know, created and assembled some parcels. Some communities really focus on the marketing side. Others do very little effort in that regard. Some work in broader communities. You go down to Rock County, and you'll find that Rock County focuses their marketing on a countywide effort. Janesville, Beloit, other communities there all got together and said, we're going to market as a group, and then we'll fight for them politely within ourselves once we get them looking at Rock County. So there's such a vast array of economic development options. You know, and in that, you've got all your grant dollars, your brownfield money. There's such a vast array of what you can do that at some point, and that's what the purpose of number two is from my perspective, is saying at some point you have to get specific and say, number three, we've only got this money, this amount of people, effort, and resources to do this job. Who are we going to assign it to? Number two, what are we going to assign them? How do we narrow down what that person or persons or group or boards or consultant can possibly achieve?
And that's an important point, because as mayor, you folks give me the direction, and then I have to marshal the resources and manage them appropriately. Having been involved in this government for many years, like all of you, I understand that we don't have a ton of resources that's available to do a lot of this work, which is why June 3rd I brought that package in. It's okay, we can do it. But we have to be careful not to be going in so many directions as to dilute all of our efforts. That's point of view. Alderman Wilhelm and I go around and around, you know, we need more retail. And I said, yeah, we do, but we need more commercial business, and we go around and around. That's her focus. I have a different focus. But you guys overall tell me what the focus is going to be. Let me let some cats out of the bag. Alderwoman Mayer and I are working with a developer in her area, and I'm not going to say where. It's important not to say where. For their original proposal was for residential, single family lots. Suzanne and I met with them together, and I presented an opportunity for perhaps a light manufacturing park. Not as expensive as a business park. I've been told by a couple of developers, we built that, fill it up real quick. Now, they continue to talk to me, and I'm sure all the women mayor, we need some direction. Because if the group says, residential, we do residential. The group says, light manufacturing might be good. Let's do that. I don't know. So there's that one. there's another one where we have an existing TIF district, we have existing dollars, we have existing budget, that we could move forward relatively quickly with very little delay, and not a lot of decisions needed by this council. We can do that, we can start on that tomorrow. And there are people interested there. Frankly, we don't have much going on for retail.
That's because we don't pursue it.
You've made a couple of statements that are, Kristen, aren't true. We do follow up if it came, but it's not coming. So, but could we do more to attract it? Sure. But again, I need to make sure that we all recognize that we have limited resources. We need to keep them focused and give maximum value to our taxpayers. And me personally, my own point of view, I think you all know this. Let's get going, but let's give maximum effort and maximum results for the effort we put out. So that's just so you all know where I'm coming from. Alderman Mayor.
Where are you coming from?
Maximum effort.
Okay.
Quickest return.
We've got that situation in Alderwoman Mayor's district. We can't keep those people on hold forever. Why don't we start with that? Why don't we have staff focus on that particular situation? Give us some options. We can't not let somebody sell their property if it's zoned for what it's zoned for, and if they've got an offer on the table, we can't stop them. We can't keep holding them off forever. Let's look at some options for that, either the residential or the light manufacturing. What are the options if we go with either one of those? And let's start with that. Let's do it in a closed session to keep the negotiation things right.
We'll have to wait for another meeting to put that on the agenda.
I didn't mean tonight, right.
Yeah.
I meant for staff to investigate it, because we can't keep that on hold forever.
Staff's aware of it.
Okay. But we're not aware of what the options are.
We got to be sensitive to the developer. I will tell you that I have to be especially sensitive to Alderwoman Mayer so I don't step on her toes. But I do answer the phone call when the developer calls me and says, what do you think? My opinion, Suzanne and I talk about this offline. But so we'll do that for another meeting. I'll get guidance from the city attorney. The beauty of this particular one is I'm not sure we'll need much city involvement. So, but okay. Alderwoman Will, do you have your hand up?
No.
Alderwoman Evans.
I just want to say that to have a strong community, we have to have strong leaders, and I think we just have to come together and start moving on this development, no matter which way we decide as a majority. And I think the community would appreciate it if we'd make some decisions.
Hear, hear.
Anyone else? Mark?
Frankly, I can't speak for you, Mayor, but what I've heard as far as tracking this to some degree is the intent was to help focus and instigate a discussion, and you moved through it very quickly to the end, which was first you want to see what we've got as far as information and studies that have been done, so you don't spend money to go out. Staff can pull something together on that. At the same time, I believe it would not be that difficult to pull out of Chapter 4 some of those things as to other strategies, because that's there. Now, Chapter 4 is very all-inclusive. I think staff working under the guidance of the mayor can bring back and say, with what we have, here's how you could sort of timeline some things. What might be the low-hanging fruit or the things with the greatest return on investment of whether it's time or money, and how could you maybe go about them. And throw some of those top ideas and strategies out to you at the very soon upcoming meeting, and so that we can narrow that down and begin to get some of those maybe other strategies moving as well. And in that discussion, I think the question that you haven't talked a lot about, the number three here, but in that discussion, when you decide how are you moving forward? What are your strategies? I think you can address that number three box. How are you going to get that workload done? Because you may find, we do want to do all of these things, so here we're going to find the resources and make it happen this way. Or you may say, I like these ideas, but I don't want to spend, you know, 20 or 40 or 80,000 on a consultant or hire a new person. So I don't think the investment's there or the return on it's there to do that, so let's narrow it down to this. So I think number three can come if we address where I believe the guidance has been fairly clear on boxes one and two.
Well, let me just do one more point of view thing, just because people ask me and members of this council ask me, well, where's your head at? Given that we all know that the revenue source for the city is property taxes, that's, we get a whole lot of revenue from property taxes and not a lot from others. That's why I, as an individual, working as a volunteer and as an alderman for the city for so many years, have never looked at jobs, because we don't get any income from a job being in the city. It's great because then we can keep our residents in our city, but it wasn't where I directed my activity. My activity was always to, you've heard it be said, I'm going to say it until I die, maximum taxable value per acre. That's where my head's at. So just so you know, that's where I'm, similar to the development that came in tonight. You know, I'm going to do more brick. Take over for all of the Skoronsky, right? More brick, change the roof line, drive up the value of it, if we choose. So, Alderwoman Wilhelm, Alderwoman Mayor.
I'm gonna say, in fairness to your comment about you and I going round and out, round versus
good
business
discussion
and retail, I would say that I am perfectly accepting the idea of a business park. I'm not sure we're on the same page about where it should be located, but that's, you know, that's kind of the businesses that'll probably drive that versus where I think it should be. But I see, I guess, I'd like to build a community, and that is why I keep bringing up understanding the community as consumers. And I think that revenue based on strictly property taxes to me is a little short-sighted. It makes it so we're never going to build ourselves out of the revenue and property tax issue. I see other ways to bring in revenue that we're not considering. Specifically, if we could fill up the empty buildings, which has been sort of my goal, it has a quality of life value to it. It brings in licensing fees and dumpsters, usage through waste management, which they pay for, which is a big part of our budget. Water fees. It brings in sewer fees, which we're able to, with sewer fees, we're able to build a $3 million sewer building. So we must be getting some money somewhere. So, and it does offer jobs, which are important to the community. And so I would like to have us not only just build a business park and look at it as a cash machine, but look at the types of businesses for quality of life and building that community that we want to live in. And that's why I keep going back to, and this, not just this, and this, not just this.
Okay. And they're always fun, aren't they? Where did I promise next? Alderwoman Will Evans. Or, Mayor, excuse me. Alderwoman Mayor.
I just want to, you know, the purpose of the city government is to bring services to the residents at the lowest cost possible and make the community safe, you know, offer public schools, that kind of thing. We're not in business, so I want to, I guess, make sure that the intentions are pure as far as, you know, where we're headed and that kind of thing. I think we need to keep in consideration what the residents have asked for, and it comes from the Comprehensive Master Plan, it comes from the Tickner Report. They want dining, they want retail, they want things in their city that they can appreciate. And I think that we should respect that and do everything we can to improve the quality of life in Franklin. That's where I stand. The other question that I had is, when do we, and I don't know if it would be tonight or tomorrow, when would we suggest to staff what information we would want to see them work on?
My suggestion is send.
I mean, that discussion is fair for today, the way it's been agended and what's in your packet. If you know there's information that you need in order to help you make decisions on moving the questions of economic development forward, that's, I would argue, very appropriate for today's discussion or for a motion tomorrow to say direct staff to prepare this. But if you just say, these are the kinds of pieces of information I need to help us, to help me make a decision on these economic development questions, the primary staff is here, will hear that as Board of Mayor. So.
Mr. City Attorney.
I've heard the Common Council, as I said earlier. I'll work with staff and something back.
But if there's specific information that we want to see that may not be included in historical documents, generally available information, I mean, I guess I don't, that's so vague that I don't understand, you know, I just don't want something to get missed.
Send me an email, I promise not to edit it, and I'll get it to you.
But to not distribute it to other top council members, and staff has been present at Common Council meetings and is aware of matters of public interest.
What do you
think? Ultimately, there are steps, but I think proposals can be brought back, and then there's always further work to do. But the Common Council can be provided with alternatives that are in a format that it is more than conceptual and what if, and is it in this area? Is it detail? Is it non-residential? There's projects and potential development concepts, including residential, all over the city. Staff lives daily with those concepts. And if you want to start itemizing, I would suggest in the nature of acting in the public interest, I have no idea what government workers or a Common Council member might say. And that might not be in the public interest at this point in time to just start discussing other people's property, changes to certain areas of the city or the like, until staff has been prepared, and perhaps that's a closed session discussion item for that reason.
Didn't have anything to do with, you know, undeveloped property or anything like that. I want information on all the tips that we have, the dollar amounts that have gone into it. You know, I guess anything that you can tell me on all of the individual tips. When did they start? What did we pay for when we started them? What are we paying for? What are the balances? You know, whatever. If they're closed, what are we getting back from them? Where is that money going? That kind of thing. On each of the tips we have right now.
Do that. Easy.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm sorry.
I didn't have
If anybody. I'll join you, Dan, first. Mm-hmm. Alderman Mayor.
I just want to make sure we do have a direction for staff to move on now. We have given it up that Mark understands, and with Jesse's input, we know where we're going to go, and we can come back with something, some options, some concrete options.
I believe so.
Good.
They were doing this though. That kind of hard to interpret.
Yeah, that makes me nervous.
Alderwoman.
Yes.
Well.
Yes.
I had just for the council's knowledge, I had already sent an email to the mayor requesting mapping a about areas which he tells me is in process. So that was some additional staff direction. And I am looking for tax incentive methods and methods to cut retail leakage. We have identified, our reports identify retail leakage. I'd like to know how to cut that leakage and understand our citizens as consumers so we can retain the businesses and help the business we have in place grow.
Mr. Mooney, with council's permission, Mr. Mooney, could we have your partner Bruce Weston come and meet with Economic Development?
Right, can I ask him?
Please. Talk about that issue.
He doesn't take orders from me, but I'll ask him.
Or give me his phone number. Okay. Yes. Is that it? Are we okay?
That's it.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate this time around everybody talking. That was nice. And I urge you all to continue as such. So Kristen's and I talk to each other on Saturday nights instead of having fun. Okay. That's it for that one?
You mean that's not fun?
It is fun. My wife gets to wonder what's going on. Restructuring forward Franklin Economic Development, item four, that's really not as big as it sounds. I made some changes to the ordinance. One was desired by everybody involved, and I got to find my copy of it. I never did agree with the name of the group. It's unique to all cities everywhere, as far as I know. So I thought it best if you put them back as a commission, gives them additional stature, perceived or real. It gives them reporting to the common council as opposed to a subcommittee of the Community Development Authority. A change to the composition. We've had trouble, but I think we're going to start back on the upswing. So I upped it to, and the word is up to 9 members. I changed, and this is relatively arbitrary, but it's somewhat political, and I'll talk about that, 2 of whom may be an alderman. The reason I did that was when I was running the commission, we had 2 aldermen on. It was good for support on the council when things were positive, and it also gave good sounding board when an idea was not so well received by the decision. You want to leave it at 1? I'm okay either way. The key to this one is under composition, item B, language change, appointed, confirmed, and then serving on the commission, not counting or including any vacant positions to determine quorum. Craig's had trouble getting quorum because of vacancies and some absences. So that was the key to getting this done. That was requested by Alderwoman Wilhelm as well. Then I removed the requirement for Citizens for Community Development. There are some questions as to whether they're an active organization, so that whole requirement goes away. It's important to note that this does not remove anyone from the commission. It doesn't change any of their duties. It just puts them back to commission and realigns them as reporting to the Common Council, not the Development Authority. It adds 2 members. One could be an alderman. Essentially, that's it. Correct, Mr. Senator?
Yes.
Comments? Alderman Evans.
Under B composition, I would like to suggest that I like 2 aldermen, but I would like to suggest that it go back to being shall rather than may. I'd like to ask what the criteria was for changing it to may instead of shall.
It's quite simple. I thought that sometimes there may not be aldermen who may want to serve and may already have 4 appointments as almost all the alderwoman mayor have multiple community assignments and don't want to do a 5th. Also, I was concerned that if the membership is low as it is now, I didn't want to overweight it with all. That's my thinking. You guys, whatever you want to do is fine by me. going.
I'm not sure she's
Are you finished? Sorry.
I would prefer it was shall. Because if it's may, then the mayor would just also determine when each year it would be May.
It's true.
Yeah.
Well, my thought was having too many aldermen on there is, makes the body more political, and I was hoping it would be a less political committee.
Me too.
In fact, I wouldn't really even object if the alderman that sat on there was just a non-voting member and let the committee. But since we've had very few people appointed to the committee, I think the biggest and most important change is that the quorum not be based on the amount of members that it's comprised of, but the amount of members that are actually appointed. So when there's a downturn and you don't have members or people resign, you don't fail to have a quorum. And that's the biggest thing that's been happening. It's like, oh, we don't have, you know, half of seven members. You don't have that many appointed in the first place. And there are a couple things I didn't have time to follow up on some of the other questions in here, which I may have answers for tomorrow. But those were the two main issues, I guess. Other than that, to me, the name doesn't really mean anything. I like the commission rather than committee. I'm fine with striking them forward. But I think we need to, I would like to see it remain at seven, at least for now, because we're having a hard time getting members on there. But I suppose if you do change it to members appointed, it just nine members is an awful lot. And then I wonder how the political appointments become of the nine members. So then does it become, again, a mayor's committee? Some appointments, because the people that are serving now, well, we're under the previous mayor, and you know, not just you, but any following mayors can say, well, you've got this many, and then when they come in, then they put in, you know, five new people, and then it's no longer an independent committee.
There is no way to avoid that. Right now, it's Mayor Taylor's committee. I don't know how you avoid it. I mean, we've got the CDA with five members. I appointed one or two. So it's still Mayor Taylor's CDA.
Except they're not reporting to him. Because he's not here anymore. So they become more independent voices.
City attorney.
CDA, as well as what's currently known as the Fort Franklin Economic Development Committee, positions are filled by way of not just appointment by the mayor, but confirmation by the Common Council.
And to say it differently, that's intended to avoid the politicization of a committee.
We know that.
And I got to tell you, we tried, like the Dickens in the old days, to have the EDC be apolitical. In the old days, I mean, even before Basil's time, the Economic Development Commission members would meet with individual Common Council members to talk about what's going on. I will grant you, we were talking about land sales in the industrial park, but I mean, it was give and take. It was good time, and that's what I'd like to see again, where it is apolitical, where any member can call anyone else, any of the Common Council members, to discuss an economic development issue. I'd like to see that. This is, you know, I understand where you're coming from. This is not a political document. This is an effort to clean it up. You're worried about quorums, as am I. So it doesn't do us any good to have a commission that can't meet. Why have it, right? So we fix it in two ways. One is we make it quorum based on the people appointed. And if Craig and I can't get together on appointments to bring to you folks, he's got four now, right? Your quorum is now three. So one can't show up. One cannot show up, two can't. And then you won't. But as we add to it, it'll be okay. As it relates to nine, hopefully we'll have a lot of work for the commission to do. And you can't do it with seven. I had 13 and didn't have a quorum problem. It's because they had work to do. They had a purpose. They had a single vision they were moving forward. And I hope that Craig and I and you working together will get that going.
Yes, I was just wondering if Mr. Mayor was planning to vacate his seat when this comes up for a vote.
Why would I do that?
Well, it seems to be a track record for Forward Franklin.
Oh, I got it now. Yeah, well. All right, Craig, it's okay, right? The purpose in what I'm doing now is to fix some of the things that I thought were problems in the past. Is that fair?
Fair enough.
So, action tomorrow night. Feel free to make changes. Any other questions for me? Is there a motion to suspend the regular order?
So move. Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Mr. Haskins.
Craig Haskins, 7120 South Wolfville. I had passed some a message on to Attorney Wesolowski on Alderwoman Evans' comment on shall and may. If it says, if you make it shall have two members and we can't get two members, do we still have a committee? So maybe consider shall have at least one alderman. So if you have shall have at least and you want two, you can put two. But if you leave the may in there, it also means may not. So if you say may have two members, it also means may not have any of you. And we can have a meeting, have a committee with no alderman representation.
Correct.
So I would suggest, I know you've heard this already, Mr. Wesolowski, you can have me smiling, so hopefully you agree with me. But yeah, may have or shall have at least one alderman or something like that. The rest of it is, I'll send you some more comments tomorrow. I can't be here, but I'll try to put some thoughts to it based on what I heard tonight. But I appreciate the change for the quorum. That's a big deal. We've had, I think, three or four members not fulfill their entire term, so they retire, or resign in the middle of the term, mostly for work, parenting, someone moved out of state, so that vacates a seat. And for whatever reason, getting people added to it after someone vacates have been really difficult to do after July 1st or until July 1st. So if you I guess the thought was if you retire or resign your seat, we have to wait 30 days past your term expiring, which is July 1st. So it's like August every year for whatever reason, and that's what was told to me, is that for August 1st of every year, we can finally start filling some people, which we've always done. I've got one candidate that I've converse with through email that's already applied. Candidate hasn't replied to me yet. Second person is a professional at We Energies with an MBA from Marquette, really interested, lives in the city, so I'm trying to entice him to find the application and fill it out. And then we'll at least have two people that might be interested, so that would be really good. So I appreciate the comments. Anything else?
It's up to you, man.
That's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Motion to return.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Okay, so Alderman Edwards.
When this was changed to the Forward Franklin, ordinance was changed, correct?
Yes.
This is in the comprehensive master plan, correct? Or is it the UDO? The description of this.
Just in the municipal code.
In the municipal code? Because I know I read it yesterday. I still read it. And it says in there, shall be two. I should have bookmarked.
I think the old economic
Yeah, and it's...
Mr. Reinser was chef.
Yeah.
Mr. City Attorney.
But it hasn't been removed. It's still in there.
Nothing's to be removed because there's been no change to the ordinance through this evening. Number two, there's a history that was set forth back in, I believe, 2010 when the Economic Development Commission was actually dissolved and then recreated as the Forward Franklin Economic Development Commission, and that goes all the way back into at least the 1980s, I think the 1970s, when originally it was the Franklin Industrial Commission, and there's Plan Development District Ordinance Number 7, which regulates the Franklin Industrial Park, which was originally the responsibility of the Franklin Industrial Commission, and then when the Economic Development Commission was created, I believe, circa 1985, they succeeded to the authority of the Industrial Commission, and then when Fort Franklin Committee was created, that committee succeeded to. So there is a legislative trail which links it all together, and that's using the word link in the old sense. And this ordinance does the same thing the council chooses to adopt.
Okay. Have we killed item four? Then let's move to item five. Alderwoman Wilhelm and I have discussed this, but this is her turn.
Well, I'm going to start off with, in the future, any items to be placed on the agenda with my name next to me, I would like the ability to see the agenda item before it's placed on the agenda so I can approve it as worded, because I wouldn't have worded it this way.
Okay.
I would have definitely left off the word studies, because as it looks like, well, Alderman Wilhelm just wants to do more studies. She doesn't want to move forward with economic development, and my intention was not to to have it read that way. My intention was to call different individuals in the economic development committees around and find out what incentives were available, and found out that there are funding sources, and saw that most recently a community got a pretty good size grant to help them with bringing a grocery store in. And that other communities are making use of this, and if we're going to be proactive and provide incentives, that we should also be following those. So there's a woman that's the representative for this area for the State Economic Development Committee, Wisconsin Economic Development. Is it an A at the end?
WEDA.
And she is going to come in and tell us about the different types of incentives and grants that are available.
Excellent.
So we could schedule her at an upcoming meeting, and she would come in and do that. And that's really the only purpose. I just wanted to make sure that the committee knew and that we sought those out.
Great. You and I also talked briefly about tax rebate or tax amnesty for bringing new business to an existing similar business, restaurant to restaurant.
Right.
And frankly, I didn't see it as much of an incentive, so I...
Well, are you talking about the equipment tax issue?
Yeah, personal property tax.
Well, the idea is enticing new businesses that for a certain period of time they could be exempt from personal property taxes, but it's my understanding that it can only be a grant back. We can't necessarily exempt them, but we can do like we do with a license where we, they pay it and then we can grant it back. So I don't know if other communities are doing that type of incentive, but as far as restaurants and different places that might have a lot of high equipment tax. I know with Harry at Moon Dance, it was a big issue for him. He complained about it frequently to me and said he couldn't afford to pay that and the lease on his property and still make a profit to keep his place open. So we lost that business in part to the high equipment tax.
Okay. Mr. Otzenberg, can you find that number for me for a couple of years since before MoveMeds and Alderman Wilhelm will work with you on that? Just a couple of years prior to that, so we can see what happens.
Anything else?
Motion to adjourn. Stop raining.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. I appreciate the conversation.